Life and love, everybody in this room, I trust, knows and feels this. Life and love involves suffering and sorrow. And as I read the gospel this morning and even reflect on the epistle, which began, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, has life from God, I think we can say that even eternal life, at least as we experience eternal life now, because that's how John teaches eternal life. Eternal life is unending real life that begins now. It's not something off in the future. And so I think we can say, if you'll just hang with me, maybe some of where I'm going this morning might be disputable, but I think it will be helpful that even eternal life involves encountering wounds. It involves suffering and grief. Now, I know in another place, like in John himself says there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more weeping. There will be no more mourning. That's in Revelation. But in that same book, the principal picture he gives us of Jesus is of a slaughtered lamb. A lamb that was slain. A lamb who still has clearly these wounds of suffering and death. So we've got all that there. Three times in our gospel today, we hear Jesus offer peace to the disciples. Peace. In fact, peace is his first word to the 10 disciples that are there, locked up in the room. And sidebar, I thought this was really curious. Like, in another place, John says, has Jesus saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus didn't knock this time. It says doors were locked, and he came. He was there with them. And his first word to them, to be clear, I want to give all honor to Mary Magdalene, who got the first words from Jesus. Tender, kind words from Jesus. But to the 10 who were hiding behind the locked doors, his first word is peace, shalom, peace be with you. Peace into their fear, peace into their hiding, peace into their darkness and discouragement and depression, peace into their overwhelm and their sense of threat. And we know about God, we know about Jesus, that his word is creative. His word is powerful. So when Jesus speaks peace into your heart, what happens? Peace comes into your heart. So John writes that Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then it reads, and when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then it says, they were glad when they saw the Lord. Now, I am accenting the suffering and sorrow today. I want to be clear that these go together. Gladness and sorrow in fuller and fuller experience, go together. Brené Brown was very helpful to me, reminding us in that viral video years ago, you cannot selectively numb your feelings. If you want to feel fullness of joy, you cannot avoid suffering and sorrow. So we're talking about Jesus granting us bigger hearts, greater capacity for more of the sorrow and the pain and more of the joy and the gladness. Amen? Okay. So he says peace, and then he shows them his hand and his side. Thomas wasn't there, John tells us. We don't know why. We can speculate. You know, maybe his mother was sick. Maybe there was business to do. It was a Sunday. It wasn't a Saturday. Saturday they didn't work, but it was a Sunday morning. Who knows? We don't know. Maybe he felt abandoned by Jesus. Maybe, we don't know, but we do know that when the disciples told him they had seen the Lord and presumably said, he showed us his hands and his side, that Thomas says immediately, unless I see the marks and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. I'm partly here to vindicate Thomas today. I think that's a legitimate ask for someone who spent up to 3 years with a man walking around the countryside, hugging him, smelling him, eating with him, you know, fill in all the bodily things that he experienced of this dear one who he loved and followed and gave his life to changing the whole trajectory of his life. And the others who were there, for whatever reason he wasn't there, you know, they had this bodily encounter with him. Now, it's a big ask, right? He not only wants to see, but he wants to touch the resurrected body of Jesus. So 8 days later, though the doors were still locked, it says Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace, shalom, well-being to you, wholeness to you, integration to you, goodness to you, love to you. That's all of that is what shalom means, peace. And then immediately, the first thing, Thomas, see? Come touch. Come put your finger in here. Come put your hand here. I am intrigued in part many things with the gospel today, but with this peace, see my wounds. Peace, examine my wounds. Shalom, wholeness, wellness, and here I am with all the signs of my suffering. It seems important to note that Jesus does honor Thomas's arguably unreasonable demand, at least to intrude into the wounds. We know God doesn't always do that. But again, I think in honoring this one who had left everything to follow Jesus and spent all that time with the bodily Jesus, maybe that's why Jesus honors the request. And secondly, again, it's a request not only to see or to hear, but to touch. And not only to touch, but to go within. I have a scar from my navel to my side. You didn't need to know that, but I do. I had my spleen removed when I was a kid, and that's what I envision about Jesus' wounds. Like, you can't put your hand in where I had my spleen removed. But something is going on here, either in the moment or forever, where Jesus invites him to stick his finger in the wound, in, and his hand in to his side. I think he's asking Thomas, come and explore. Come and inquire. Explore my suffering. Explore my wounds. Jesus invited Thomas to an intimacy that he invited no other human being that I know of. This doubting Thomas, he was invited to an intimacy with his Savior and Lord that no other human being was invited to. Come explore, come within my wounds, my suffering love for you and for the world. And I would suggest that in doing so, Jesus is asking Thomas to let his suffering meet his suffering. This is where the suffering will touch. What might it mean for us if this is in the nature of God and in the nature of our Savior? What might it mean for us to explore the wounds of Jesus Christ? What might it mean for us to explore the suffering love of God, to draw near, to go inside? Suffering or woundedness or grief means a lot. It means just there's so many things here as I consider this. It's our own suffering and sorrow. God holds all suffering. God owns my suffering as his own suffering. So it's our suffering in all its forms. And we wouldn't have a book probably big enough to put all the various suffering just in this room. It's all my sins that I've committed and all the sins that have been committed against me. It's the suffering of those we love, their struggles, their pain. It's the suffering of the world. It's Jesus' suffering. Have you ever been pierced thinking about Jesus' suffering on our behalf? And it's what the contemplatives, those who have experienced more of God's love than most of us, I would say, call it the wound of love, or Teresa of Avila called it the delectable wound. That is a taste of God's love and goodness, so much that it hurts because you want more. Because you know you're made for more of God's love, and only God can meet that. So all of this is involved. And what might it mean to explore the wounds and the suffering, to curiously inquire, and to bring our own suffering to meet his suffering? Again, it'll probably mean different things for different ones of us, but I think it includes an openness to feeling, a prayer for a greater capacity, not fleeing, expressing that desire to God, asking for help from God, being honest with God, the only one who fully and finally can hold all of it, and who will make all things right and all things new, the one who says, peace, see my hands inside, peace. What are ways to explore it? I have a friend doing spiritual direction with, and I was so delighted. He started into counseling, something we've talked about for a year and a half, and he said the first thing he started to do was he has a feelings journal. First thing he does every morning, just trying to get in touch with my feelings. What might it mean? Every Sunday we encounter his suffering. We taste it and smell it. When the priest holds up the host and holds up the cup, that's not like because we're worshiping it. I mean, God forbid, our Anglican forebears would would not like be totally against that. It's anathema. What we're doing is presenting the suffering love of God to his church. So when we take and eat, we're considering, we're remembering, we're inquiring what it cost him to love and save us. In our tradition, like we're a liturgical calendar tradition, like our prayer book encourages us to remember on every Friday, not just in Lent, remember what Jesus did for us on one Friday a long time ago. So all, what might it mean? I want to suggest that there is a sense that Jesus comes to us often, showing us his wounds, showing us his suffering, and inviting us to honor it, explore it, minister to it. What else does it mean when he says, when you saw me hungry, when you saw me naked, when you saw me thirsty, when you saw me in prison, when you saw me sick, you ministered to me. You know, Robert reminded us last week, I meant to say this at the beginning, with this kind of embracing this sort of a sermon on the second Sunday of Easter, you know, that Mark reminds us this, they didn't believe, they doubted. It's a journey, we're on a journey. And parts of it are really hard. Even knowing Jesus, even being born of God. Peace. Will you see me? Will you see me in my suffering? Will you embrace my wounds? Knowing God, or intimacy with God, or abiding with Christ, in Christ, involves experiencing suffering and woundedness, which is ultimately his suffering and his wounds. This is the testimony of every saint worthy of our emulating. That they were drawn deeper into the love of God because, literally because of woundedness. Literally because of feeling the pain of the world, of others, or their own. And their passion and heart was, I need more of you, God, to heal this, to soothe this, to comfort this. This is Francis of Assisi. These are the ones I know. There's many more. But Francis of Assisi, Julian of Norwich, Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross. This is their testimony. One more vindication of Thomas. That Jesus says this, right? And then he says, I think our ESV said, do not disbelieve, but believe. That's fine. But I want to suggest, as much as a reprimand as it is, it's Jesus speaking life into Thomas. If looking at it in the Greek, the verb there is the verb to be, or become, or be created. It's literally something like, do not be faithless, or do not be unbelieving, but be faithful, be believing, be trusting. The word is to be. It's not a rebuke of some other action of him. It is this quality, yes, okay. I guess why I'm getting passionate about that is I think this is another place where Jesus speaks a creative word into this man who wants to touch his friend, his Lord. Be. I'm creating you in this moment, Thomas, to be a believer, to be a faithful one, to be a trusting man and follower of me. And we don't know if Thomas actually did or didn't touch him. We're led to believe he didn't. I hope he did. But the way John portrays it is immediately he just says, my Lord and my God. First time in John's whole gospel, 20 plus chapters in, that someone says, you are God, Jesus. And how did he get there? Peace. See my wounds? Will you explore them? Blessed are those, Jesus said, who have not seen and yet have believed. And blessed are those, I suggest this morning, who have considered, who have inquired, who have imagined, who have encountered the suffering, wounded love of God, literally, in Jesus Christ. Closing. It's gone way longer than this morning. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. Arguably, this was the original ending of John. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written, my insertion, including this one. Why would he say there are many other signs? After telling the story of Jesus coming and saying, peace, see my wounds? Thomas, peace, will you explore my wounds? He gave this sign as well for them and for you and me, that we might believe, that we might trust, that we might know a place for our suffering to meet his suffering, that we might have a place to find peace and find the presence of God in our real life experience. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your wounds. Thank you for your suffering and your suffering love. Thank you for your victory of life. You are my peace, my Lord, my God. I love you. I trust you. Amen.